Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Thanks for tuning in to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. We are your source for investing and money matters. I am your host for this week. My name is Andrew Sather from investingforbeginners.com, and we will be joined by decades of experience from our panel at the end of the show. Today's guest, and it's very timely as football season has just started. Our guest today is Steve Roberts. He is the author of Football Financial Planning, and he has really some great ideas about making financial planning simple and doing it in a way and relating it to the game of football. So if you are football fans out there, it's really a great way to get your feet wet with investing by using the metaphors that Steve provides in his book. Steve, we just had week one in football, so this is a very timely interview. Obviously, I'm excited, being a San Diego Chargers fan, that we came back from behind to beat Detroit Lions. So much football just happened, but I really want to thank you for coming on and giving us the time to talk about your book and some of the ideas you have about financial planning.
Yeah, well, thank you, Andrew. I'm excited to be part of your show, and thanks for having me. And it is an exciting time. Football's here.
Yeah, so before we dive into the different financial topics, real quick, what got you so passionate about football?
You know, I think I was just born that way. As far back as I can remember, I just remember watching football, playing football. In fact, I remember as a five-year-old, I can still remember, I was watching a football game, the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles. I remember running in from the living room into the kitchen. My parents were there doing the dishes, and I said, I got a new favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. And that was back when I was 5 years old, and just as long as I can remember, I've just enjoyed the game.
Yeah, it's a fun time, especially here in America. It's one of the great sporting events. You have the Super Bowl that happens every year, and it's one of the most widely watched events on TV. And so, you know, it's a great time. The game is highly competitive, and I really enjoy it myself as well. Now, can you talk about the difference between defense, offense, and special teams? Now, you talk about how the game of football can be used to explain financial topics. And so in the same sense that a football game has aspects of where the ball kind of moves down the field, you have an offensive team, a defensive team, and a special teams team. You say that it works the same way with our finances. So can you explain what the defense, offense, and special teams are in our personal finances?
Yes, on our personal finances, defense is primarily made up of insurance products. We want to protect our assets, and so insurance does that. Our offense is made up of investments or banking products, typically a product that's going to help our money to grow. And then special teams are our retirement plans, 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, and that's the quick synopsis of what the offense and defense and special teams are in football financial planning.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. The defense protects, in the game of football, the defense will protect your team from letting the other team score on them. And in our sense, we are trying to prevent ourselves from losing money. That makes a lot of sense. Offense, obviously, trying to gain more money, that you can do a lot of different things with that. And specifically with stocks, you talk about and you classify stocks as like a wide receiver in the game of football. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, well, in football, the farther you get away from the football, the faster the players become. And wide receivers, the furthest out, they're typically the fastest on the team. And they're on their own. There's a lot of one-on-one matchups. You can hit long bombs with them. You can throw short passes to them. I like to think of that as like a dividend. And so stocks, again, using football as a metaphor, they're out there. You can buy a share and become an owner in a company. And that's the primary reason why a stock is a wide receiver.
Yeah, and like you said, hitting the long bomb, that can surely happen in stocks. You could buy a stock that triples in a very short amount of time, and that has that kind of earning power that other instruments don't really have.
Right.
So when evaluating stocks, and I liked in the book how you talk about how the scouts in the NFL will evaluate wide receivers, and you say that there's a similar procedure that we can use to evaluate stocks. Can you speak some light into that?
Yeah, so when scouts are evaluating wide receivers, they put them through tests. How many times can they bench press 225 pounds? What's their vertical jump? How fast do they run the 40-yard dash? They meet, interview the players. They watch tape of them in college and what kind of routes do they run? How are their hands? And when we're evaluating stocks, there's different tests or things you can do to look at, just a few of them, earnings per share test, price earnings ratio, price sales ratio. You can look at the company and get a feel for their history, what kind of industry are they in, and what's their share price been over the last 52 weeks or beyond, and what's kind of been the trend, and just get a feel for how they perform.
And so in the same sense that a stock, let's look at a football player, right? A football player who has a really fast 40, even if maybe he has a bad game or two, because we know the fundamentals of basically the way his body is built and how fast or how strong he is, it makes him more likely to be able to score a lot of points. And in the same token, you can look at the same thing with stocks, even regardless of what their performance has been in the share price. If they have a solid fundamental base, then you're more likely to find a stock that will be successful and appreciate in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just think this last week I was watching the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, and Dez Bryant, we know, is a great wide receiver, and there was a pass, great pass right to him. He dropped it. But does that mean he's a bad wide receiver? No. And so I think you really made a good point there, that there are companies we can look at, and we know they're solid because of their size and their history. But every once in a while, they might drop the pass or their share price might drop a little, but we still know that they're a solid player.
So here at the Money Tree Investing Podcast, we really like to dive into the theory. Can you maybe more specifically explain some of the metrics that you use to evaluate stocks and maybe give a brief overview of why a low or high ratio in any of those stocks are favorable to the investor?
Yeah, well, when you're looking at the earnings per share, of course, the higher that number is, the better. When you're looking at your price earnings ratio, that kind of gives you an idea of how do other owners look at those stock? What do they feel that's doing and how it's performing? And so, and there's some others, and that's that I talk about in my book. Some of the other things that perhaps we don't talk a lot about, sometimes I like to look to what's the history of the stock. Do they have stock splits, particularly, that's gone on throughout the company? And what kind of dividends do they pay? Do they have a history of paying a dividend that can help our team with either using that as income or purchasing additional shares or other players for our team?
Okay. And then I remember in the book you talked about how, you know, obviously we just talked about wide receivers. You got an offense and a defense. So basically every position in the football team has a corresponding instrument. You mentioned the special teams has 401k, IRA. I know the offense has stocks, bonds, other types of investments. So out of all the different players and classifications that you've made, who, in your opinion, is the most important player on the team? And as an investor who's listening, what should we really focus on when it comes to the bigger picture for our financial plan?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the metaphor of using football as understanding financial planning, the most important player is you, and you're the owner and the quarterback of the team. And so ultimately that the most important player is you in helping to, as an owner, decide which coaches and that you're going to have to help you put your game plan together. And then also being the quarterback to make things happen. That once a coach says, okay, this is what we need to do, that you implement it and help it to come to pass. And so as far as a player goes, an actual player, it's really a combination of having those players in place. We can have all the offense in the world, but if we don't have any defensive players and we have, say, an auto accident, again, we're not protecting our team, and it can thwart us from helping us to progress down the field and ultimately winning the game. So there needs to be a balance between your offense, defense, and special teams, and putting that all together to help your team succeed.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, having all the focus in one area and failing to look at the bigger picture can lead you to making some mistakes. And if bad events happen to you, like you said, like an auto accident, that can really wipe you out and negate all of the gains that you might have previously made. So you definitely want to make sure you have the right system in place. Speaking of systems, do you see a difference in having a good system and having the right system?
Well, yeah, there's a difference. I mean, having a good system is definitely better than having no system at all. And so I like to think, I mean, a good system can help you to perhaps get to the playoffs, but having the right system really just helps elevate all your players and to get the maximum amount of out of them for the salary or the money you're putting into them to ultimately help you to win the Super Bowl.
So you mentioned having a good system and having the right system. Basically what you're saying is every person's financial situation is different. And so just because you have something that worked for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to necessarily be exactly the right fit for you. Can you maybe give an example of a financial plan that makes sense, like that's generally good, but might not be exactly right for somebody?
Yeah, so you might have someone that has the resources that they have their defensive players in place. They may have some term life insurance, and they're investing in running backs, which is mutual funds. You may have someone else that has a little more resources than that that can not only have their mutual funds, but have some individual stocks, wide receivers, some slot receivers, ETFs, and perhaps even some permanent life insurance for some tax planning that can happen that way, or for estate planning scenarios. And so that's where I think it's important to be able to have that coach or that advisor to help you to really see, based on what resources you have, what's going to be the best plan for you. Because again, one person, it may be they just have a running back and in their checking account and their savings, which is a center and a guard, and their auto and homeowners and some term life insurance that's on the defensive side. And someone else might need a lot more planning and a lot more players than that.
So you mentioned how obviously the most important person is you, and ultimately you're in control, and that's something we always talk about here on the show. It's your money, it's your responsibility, it's also your reward. Obviously, yourself is important and you need to educate yourself. At the same time, it can also be helpful to get help from other people. And you mentioned having the right coach. So how can the individual investor pick the right coach for their investments?
Yeah, well, just as an owner in football or the general manager will interview coaching candidates to find out who's going to be the best fit for their organization, I think that's where it's important for individuals or families as couples to be able to sit down and interview, in essence, some advisors, get a feel for what is their philosophy, how do they work, who do you feel most comfortable with, and then from there choose what coach you want to go with.
Awesome, Steve. I want to thank you for your time. I think this was a great primer and a great introduction for if people are out there and they have no clue how to get started with their financial planning. A lot of the terms and a lot of the jargon can seem really foreign, and it's sometimes hard to conceptualize those concepts. But when you can attach it to something that's as prevalent in American culture as football, it can really help some people who are struggling with that kind of get past that hump and maybe take the next step and take some action towards their financial plan to really have the right system for themselves in the future. If people are more interested about you and your book and what you do, where can people go to get the book?
Yeah, well, they can go to Amazon and get the book, or they can go to footballfinancialplanning.com and get the book. Anybody that gets the book through the website, Football Financial Planning, can will get an autographed copy of the book. And as you mentioned, I think the basis behind the book is to get people a little more excited, to help them to understand it as it relates to the game of football. And not too long ago, I was meeting with a couple, and the wife was sitting at the edge of the chair and very engaged, and the husband was sitting back just kind of like, oh, when can I get out of here? And I started to tell him about my book. It was so interesting that the wife kind of sat back a little bit and was like, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. And the husband sat right at the edge of the chair and says, now you're speaking my language. And that's really what the book is to help speak your language. Because sometimes these financial concepts and the things that we talk about can be confusing, but when we can relate it to the game of football, it just helps put it in perspective of how the players work and how we can put them all together, put a game plan together to help us succeed in reaching our financial goals.
Most definitely. I like that idea of a game plan. Again, thanks, Steve, and have a good day.
Yep, thanks, Andrew.
It is now time for the discussion panel. We have a late night recording going on tonight, a little bit of, how should I say, it's the last call, and we have a couple of our panelists here with us. Today we have Miranda Marquette from PlantingMoneySeeds.com.
Woo!
And Joe Salcihi from StackingBenjamins.com.
What's happening?
And Andrea is out today dealing with a dental issue, so hopefully she gets better and we'll see her next week.
She's probably feeling better than we are right now.
Well, whatever they prescribed her, I want some of that right now. So we're talking about football, we're talking about financial planning, we are trying to find topics and explanations for beginners who are thinking about this whole financial thing. Maybe they got intrigued by the title of this podcast episode and they like the game of football. So, you know, Steve presented a couple of metaphors that he likes to use to explain financial planning. Before we really dive into that, I wanted to highlight when Steve talked about the significance of stock splits, because, you know, we've seen throughout Wall Street, it can be a big event and draw a lot of headlines when you see a stock that splits. And you have these stock splits that usually occur for stocks that are on fire. So, Joe, I'll start with you. Can you explain what a stock split is to somebody who doesn't understand what that is, and how can it impact either the business or the share price?
Well, to a beginner sees a stock split as I have one share and then all of a sudden that share splits into two shares. So I've got double the number of shares. The problem is that a lot of beginners don't realize is that if you had one share at $100, you don't have two shares at $50. So you really have the same amount of money. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all bad. Stock splits happen for a number of reasons, and I think you have to look at what's behind it. One thing that is pretty cool about a stock split is psychology, which is it's been shown that share of stock that's trading at $100 appears to a lot of people to be more expensive than two shares at $50. So if I can pick up a share of stock for $50, I might be more likely to buy it. There might be a bigger audience for that, for those shares. That doesn't always prove correct. I mean, you look at shares like Google as an example, or Apple, or Berkshire Hathaway. You know, some of these share prices can get really, really high. But you know, stock splits for me, for the most part, if I'm looking long term, are a non-event.
Okay. As like a younger investor who just, you know, is starting out, I can see how when you have limited capital, the idea of shelling out maybe, I think Apple was at what, like 800 or something And now they obviously they have their big stock split. So I can see as somebody who's maybe first starting out into the investing world, $800 can be a lot of money, and somebody might not have that kind of budget to invest every month. So in that sense, maybe it can help people. But I think, like you said, for the most part, it's more of a psychological thing than it is practical.
I think going back to why companies do it, I think is important for individual investors. Because as an example, if a company's about to do a buyback and the stock's really expensive, they might not have enough money in the coffers to buy a ton of stock. They might want to leave a lot of stock outstanding, but they also might want to start buying shares back. So sometimes it signals that the company's doing some internal things to maybe prop up the stock price more. There could be a lot of reasons. They might be getting ready to make an acquisition, as an example, and they want to divide the number of shares in half so that they can take some of their treasury owned shares, and they can use that to purchase the new company. So stock splits do have some things, and if you've been following the company for a period of time, you might be able to put together the clues to see really what management's thinking when it comes to why they split the stock.
Yeah, that's a great point about the share buybacks too, because whenever a company is making a share buyback, basically the message that they're telling investors is that they believe that the stock is undervalued. And so if they believe the stock is undervalued, there's a good chance, since they know the numbers, they're the management, there's a good chance that it could be actually an undervalued opportunity. So in that sense, if you do have a stock split that could be leading into some sort of share repurchasing plan, that could really drive the share price up. And, you know, Wall Street knows that. So you'll have the quote unquote smart money jumping in if they see a big share buyback plan, and that can really fuel extra growth and extra momentum that can carry on for quite some time. Now, Miranda, let's talk to you for a bit. We talk about offense, defense, and obviously there's a lot of different important factors to consider when you're creating a financial plan. I want to talk about the defense because I think it's really important. And one aspect of the defense that Steve talked about was insurance. So with your financial plan, and maybe for the other listeners out there, what are the two or three most critical types of insurance every investor should have to have a strong defense?
Yeah, well, I think health insurance is a big one, not only because now it's the law of the land that you need to have it, but also because it's one of those big expenses that can really cause you problems if you're not prepared. And thankfully, one of the nice things about the new healthcare law is that there are maximums on what you can pay out of pocket. So you're kind of limited in terms of, you know, how much of that $100,000 hospital bill you're going to have to pay, depending on what your health insurance is. So I think health insurance is a big one, because especially when it comes to a catastrophic event, because those can add up quickly. And then think about disability insurance. A lot of people don't think about disability insurance, but I think it's an important thing to think about, because that's your livelihood right there. If you're disabled in some way and you can't work and you don't have that income, it can be really problematic. And, you know, some people decide to kind of self-insure by building up a really good emergency fund, and that can be one way to do it. But I do have a small amount. It's not a huge disability policy, but I do have a long-term disability policy just in case. I use my emergency fund can fill in for short-term disability. I don't worry about that, but I do have a long-term disability because that income is important. And then of course there's life insurance, and I don't see life insurance as an investment for me. Cash value life insurance is not something that I personally feel is like an investment in my future, but it's something that I like to have because it takes care of my family. When it gets right down to it, all of my defense planning, all of my insurance goes back into my ability to care for my son. And so that, you know, that means I need to make sure that my assets are protected in that way. And then, of course, car insurance, home insurance, just those kind of big expensive assets that you kind of want to protect so that if something does happen, you're not on the hook for everything all at once. You've paid your premiums, so you've put into it and you've paid for it along the way, but at the same time, you're not on the hook for a huge chunk of capital all at once.
Joe, did you have anything to add about insurance?
Well, I think that when he talks about insurance and defense, I think there's a couple other types of insurance, because I totally agree with Miranda on disability coverage. That's the one that when I was a financial advisor, people overlooked. But other types of insurance, I think, are better, but can minimize the amount that you have to pay somebody else to insure you. Because remember, when you're talking about insurance, you're not necessarily including an insurance company, right? So insurance can be, number one, it can be an emergency fund. An emergency fund can ensure that you're able to continue being aggressive with your portfolio plans without worrying about, having to disrupt them to take money out. It always amazes me when people say they don't want to have an emergency fund and they'd like to invest really aggressively. Well, if your muffler's dragging behind your car and for some reason you don't have access to credit, how are you going to pay for that? You're going to have to take these stocks out and sell them. So we don't want to do that. So I like having the emergency fund for that. And then the other type of insurance that I like, in my pocket are things like stop losses. I think those are great portfolio insurance.
So you mean that guy I saw with the muffler dragging behind him, that wasn't you?
That might not have been me. I can neither confirm nor deny, Andrew.
Okay. Yeah, and really the impact of defense, it really can't be overlooked. Obviously, as a stock guy myself, I love to jump into the offense, and offense is what brings people into watching games like football, and that really is the exciting part. But you can't forget about defense. And I really liked what Andrea said. Even though she's not here, she did say, remember that defense wins a game most of the time, and the best defense will always have a better chance, and it's more than just insurance to cover a rainy day. So keep that in mind. Now, I want to swing it back to you, Joe. Obviously, you have experience with financial planning. Steve talked about the various financial instruments and use the metaphor that each financial instrument is like a player in your financial plan. So we mentioned some offensive players, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, some defensive players, insurance. Were there any players that we didn't discuss in the interview that you think should be part of a complete financial plan?
No, not one that I think should be part of a plan. But what's interesting is that for some people, and probably not even people listening to this podcast, I think normally annuities are a pretty bad idea, especially for people that would listen to a podcast like this. But for a beginning investor who is close to retirement, the thing that annuities come with that can't be overstated is a bunch of guarantees. And when you have the type of team where you can't afford to lose, I don't know how to put this in a football analogy. It's funny. We all think that dumb people are the ones that use annuities. Yet Ben Stein, I don't know if you guys know Ben Stein, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Win Ben Stein's Money, that guy, very smart guy. Ben Stein talks a lot about his parents would have been a mess had they not had annuities. They're very simple people. They're people that don't understand investing and frankly never will. For them, the benefits that annuities provide are a big fat benefit. We might get a lot of hate mail about me right now, but I think that for the right person, especially a beginner who can't afford to lose, who's not going to learn a lot, going with a low expense annuity to give you some guarantees, I think is one of the players I know that Steve has talked about in his book that I actually, it's a controversial thing, but I agree with it for the right person.
Well, I think so too. But one of the things you run into is you have a bunch of annuities that happen to be so convoluted and have so many weird terms. But there are also some great annuities out there that are just very straightforward and have a very simple term. And those are the ones that you need to look for. Those are the annuities that you need to look for if you decide that strategy is right for you.
Right. Well, and it's funny, Miranda, on that point, actually, the type of annuity that the annuity provision that I like the best is actually a really convoluted one. It's called a guaranteed minimum minimum withdrawal benefit. Yeah. I can't even spit it out. It's so convoluted, but it basically says that you're going to be able to leave your money invested, but you can take out X percent per month and your money's still guaranteed to last forever. It is a convoluted thing, but man, for somebody like Ben Stein's parents, or frankly, even for my parents, that understanding that kind of complex rider on that annuity is a huge benefit to their retirement.
I don't know. I guess I don't think that sounds convoluted. I guess to me it sounds straightforward. It's like, well, here's your minimum. This is what you get to take. I don't know.
Right.
To me, it seems very straightforward.
Yeah, but if somebody says, and the bad news about that particular thing, that is actually, it's funny because that is an expensive. It is an expensive rider to have on an annuity. But I look at somebody like my parents, and I think, would they be better off paying this monster expense or pretending that they're ever going to know how index funds work? My parents are never going to understand index funds. Everybody listening to this podcast is going to understand index funds. So I'd say, you know, and we could even stop talking about it, because I think most people listening to this show, this particular product is not right for them.
Yeah, I mean, bring the hate mail on, you know. I'd love to read it.
And that's right.
I think you make some really great points. You know, obviously, you want to make sure you understand what's right for you and what works for you, and everybody's at a different level. Even we talked in the interview about having a system, and just because you have a system, one person might have a system that works for them, doesn't mean necessarily that it's the right system for you. And I wanted to mention that, Andrea, also wanted to say that you're talking about having the wrong system. For the football fans out there, you can look at a guy like Ndamukong Suh. He used to play for the Lions. He's famous for basically stomping on a guy while he was on the ground and full-on just putting his cleats into the other guy's head. He was really effective in Detroit, and now he's on a different team. He's a great player, but they changed his system. Now he's basically ineffective. So annuities is a great example of that. And there can be some hurdles with, you know, getting a financial plan in order. And especially for beginners, it can seem overwhelming and confusing. A book like Steve's Football Financial Planning can maybe help bridge that gap. Miranda, what do you perceive as the biggest hurdle for beginners trying to get their financial plan in order, and how can they resolve this issue?
I think the biggest one is people just seem to be intimidated by money, and they're intimidated by the thought of having to sit down and figure this out. And so I think that there are a couple things you can do to overcome this fear. First of all, is to just educate yourself, get out there, listen to our awesome podcast or read our awesome blogs and learn more about money and how it works and what you can do about it. And the other thing you can do is, if you're really feeling intimidated by it, go visit a fee-only financial planner. Visit a professional who can sit down and who can take an hour and explain to you some basics of how to get started and how to make money work for you. We just seem to have this mental block, I think, that we put up as a society when we're confronted with money and we're confronted with this. And we think that we have to do everything at once, and that everything has to be in place, and that everything has to be big and right now. But we can start small, and we can chunk it out, and it's okay to take a little bit of time to educate yourself so you're not so intimidated.
Well, on that note, I think that we are very busy people. We always think that we'll get to it later, and it being finance is so overwhelming to people that later doesn't come until you have time, and you never end up having time, right? So instead of trying to swallow the elephant whole, I think just starting with the basics. I think people get overwhelmed by a lot of the jargon about, you know, I mean, already on this podcast today, we've talked about stocks and stock splits and annuities. And, you know, if I'm brand new listening to this podcast, even I'm thinking, oh, so which of those is important, and why is one important and one's not? Maybe even on top of the things Miranda says, you know, my favorite book for beginners is a book called The Truth About Money by Rick Edelman. I just think that book's very comprehensive. It's even-handed, which I like. So it's a great primer to kind of get you moving in the right direction.
Yeah, thanks for that book recommendation. I will definitely link that up. People can find the link to that book and also the link to Steve's book that we talked about in the interview over at moneytreepodcast.com. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Like we've said, you know, we've had listeners write to us and tell us about how they've listened through the archives and how valuable it has been for them. So if you haven't had a chance, I definitely recommend doing that. Please rate and review if you have a chance. We really appreciate that. I really like that. Send your mail in, whether it's hate mail or a question. I don't really care. I love to read all of them. And visit us at moneytreepodcast.com. Remember, it's your money, it's your responsibility, and it is your reward. Work hard, play hard. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.